If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to preach a little bit, a message called Engaged. And I want you guys to honestly know this. We had a meeting before we started the service. We were going to do announcements at 9:55. So they're done by 10. And our plan was to be done with worship at 10:30. So I would take the pulpit closer to 10:35, 10:40. Which would give me a good, strong time to preach. And even if I spend a long time preaching, we would still be done by 11:30-ish. What I want to tell you is that was not the plan of God today. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I met with 5 pastors this week. We went to Lyons and we met with the Roscoes and we met 2 Lyons pastors there and had a wonderful time with children's work that we tested on Friday afternoon. No, Wednesday afternoon. And then Thursday morning I met with the pastor from Christ Place at 9:30 in the morning, and I met with the Oakland E Free pastor who contacted me and wanted a meeting. And guess what? By the time I got out of both of those meetings, both of those men had tears in their eyes. And one of them texted me back and said, that was one of the most inspirational talks I've ever had. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost filled me that morning. I said, God, give me a word for these people in this time. And they were weeping sitting there at Red Door Coffee House. And I got much from talking to them. Picked up very, very much. And I want you to know that last Wednesday night, pastor from the Hispanic church came over, and we're going to start to do some things together. God's building bridges there. He's building bridges. We may do something around the Christmas time with Christ Place down here in West Point. I may have a pastor from the Oakland E Free Church come in, and maybe even this Wednesday, and share what he told me about his heart for discipleship. And so what I see happening is there's pastors calling me from Neely and wanting me to preach there. There's pastor calling me, Jim Bates from Columbus, that wants me to preach there. And there's opportunities that are opening up for us now. And I believe that this would happen at about year 6 going to 7. Amen? That's where we're at in the church, and that's how long it takes to get credibility. And it's happening right now. I was, just so you guys know, going to allow everybody to go out of the Wednesday night Bible study, and I was encouraging everybody to go to somebody else's church this Wednesday night and check it out. Just tell them we're wanting to reach and grab and lock arms and pray. And when you are confident in who you are, and I happen to be confident in what I am in Christ, amen?
Amen.
I have no problem. They're not a jealous bone in my body. I don't want to be anybody else. I never have wanted to be anybody else. I want to be like Jesus. Amen. But when you're confident in who you are and what you believe you have something to offer the entire world. Amen. And I want you to know that we believe in what we believe, and we believe it, and we live it and walk it and move in it. And so I believe we have something to impart to every. And I saw in the spirit realm that I have something to impart in these men's life. So I'm going to begin to gather the pastors. Amen? Yes. And I'm going to start speaking into their lives. And I can see there's a tremendous need for it in this hour. And they're longing for it, I can tell. So I'm just very encouraged by what God is going to do. You pray with me. I believe it's next Friday night. The Hispanics asked me to preach through an interpreter down at the park under a tent. So I'm going to do that. Amen? If you guys want to come out, you come out. We'll preach to whoever. Meanwhile, they'll be handing out tracts to just everybody in the whole realm of the park. And they're going to do that continually on Friday nights until the Lord returns.
Amen?
Amen. I said, brother, we're going to get behind you in that. And then the 15th, they're coming here. We've invited them to come, and I've asked him to share that, and they're going to sing some Hispanic music, and you're going to love it. They're going to bring about 20, 30, 40. I don't know how it goes. Praise God. But we'll love them too, won't we?
Amen.
And we're just going to backhand racism all the way out of this town.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Genesis chapter 3 today. Praise the Lord. When you get to verse 1, say amen. I'm going to preach this message called Engaged. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And it's up on the board if you want to follow along, okay? And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Did God really say, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question mark. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it. In other words, that's the first command of God. Neither shall you touch it. Don't even touch the thing, okay? And that's what God's saying about sin. I've got commands against sin. I don't even want you to touch them, much less partake of them. Amen? So the command of God had gone out. These people had free will. And they had a moral choice to make. Lest you die. There's the recompense. You will die. At this time, they would have lived forever. Think about it. Living forever in the presence of God. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. As gods. Everybody say, you'll be as gods. You'll know good from evil. In other words, you'll be able to make your own decisions. You will take this free will, and you'll be able to make your own choices. You can literally set the stage for your life. You can do what you like, what you feel. You can be led by your senses, and you're going to be. And the woman saw that the tree was good, senses, she saw, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. There it is again. And the tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the lust of lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life came in and tempted, Satan tempted them to eat, and they did eat. And instantly, their eyes were open. They were naked. They had tasted of sin, and now they could see what was good and what was evil. And instantly, they tried to cover up their own sin. They knew that they were naked. But what else happened was that they became selfish. They became self-centered. They lost God-centeredness and God-consciousness, and they began to become self-centered at this moment. This is where it all started. This is where all war started, sin started, rebellion started. Everything that ever happened came from the fall of man. Amen? But this is what happened. It was a me-first mentality from that point on. Everybody say, me-first mentality.
Me-first.
And this is the mentality of our age. It's secular humanism. It's the humanistic idea that I have the right to live my own life just the exact way that I want to. It's the democratic way of life. If it feels good, do it. That's how it's animal instinct. It's the basic instinct. It's exactly all of those things. Let me explain me before you. Can I get everyone to stay with me and say me before you?
Me before you.
This is what it means. My needs before anybody else's. My wants and desires above all. Here's an example. I didn't write it. I took this, but here it is. How can I tithe when I still owe on my boat and my luxury car? Surely the Lord doesn't want that. The number two is us before others. Everybody say us before others.
Us before others.
Us before others. Here's what it looks like. Our needs and our comfort take priority over everything else in life. Our needs and our comfort that's the precedent, okay? We need a strong home base here, financially and with time and energy, and then we'll be able to give more to the church and to missions. But it's us first. That was us before others. So it's me before you, us before others, and the third one is this. You still with me? All of us before God. So it's me, myself, and I. It's me before you. It's us before others. It's all of us before God. And here's what that looks like. That was the number three. God wants our welfare. He wants us to prosper, doesn't he? He's not honored if we are worshiping in something less than the best, right? Verse 7, and the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Everyone say, presence of the Lord. Now the presence that they loved, walking in the cool of the day, walking in the wind, walking in the Spirit. Roush is the Spirit word there. And they walked in the Spirit in the cool of the day with God, in the presence of God. And now they're hiding themselves from the very presence of God. What we just experienced here at Family Worship Center this morning was the very presence of God. We walked again with God in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The body was moving in the Spirit this morning. Hallelujah. He's going to continue to move in this service. I know that. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, verse 8, and they hid themselves. Verse 9. And this is what God asks every man. And this is the question, the first question of the Bible towards man. Let's look at it together. And he's asking this question. He calls unto Adam and says, where art thou? That's the question to you today. Where are you at? Adam, Eve, where art thou? You once walked with me in the cool. You once walked with me in the Spirit. Where in the world are you? Where are you at today? Where are you at today? That's the question of the hour. And he said, I heard that voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And so here we hear the voice of God. He's acknowledging the fact that that's God. He was afraid, so guilt was discovered. I was naked. That was the effect of the sin. And I hid myself. That was the result of the guilt. But God Himself has engaged Himself in the greatest manhunt that there's ever been. God is out there now, and He's looking, and He says, where are you at? Where are you at, Adam? Where are you at, Eve? And the sons of Adam and Eve sit here today. Amen? And God's asking the same question, and He's trying to get a hold of you, and He's on this redemptive manhunt to come after, and He's turning up everywhere, in every town, in every city, every place where the gospel can be preached or heard. God is after you, and He's saying, where are you? Where are you at? And where do you stand before a just and a mighty and a holy God today? God has a way of finding a lost soul. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God can speak to your sinful condition. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God has the remedy for everything that you need. And we've talked about it and heard about it already. And you need to know this, that if you're not born again today, listen to me, you're in a mighty jam with the Almighty. You're in one heck of a mess in a mighty jam with the Almighty if you do not know Jesus and you're not born again today. Verse 11, let's continue to read. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten the tree? Eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman. It's her fault. Have you noticed how we all like to point fingers? It's your fault. It's your fault. The reason things are is because of you. It's because of you, and it's because of this, and it's because of what you did. It's because of how you acted. And the serpent went right after that. And the man points to the woman and blames her. The same thing in 13. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat, and I partook of that. And I brought sin upon the human race. And then I gave my husband to cover it for me, and he ate of it too. Adam knew better than to do that. And so they were both defiled. Adam disobeyed. She was deceived. Amen? They both blew it big time. But how do we reconcile the fact that this is the great fall of all things, and yet, so there's blaming and there's every other thing, and it's time to drop every rock. Amen?
Amen.
And realize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet Jesus says, I will have my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church that I build. He also says in Ephesians 5:27 that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what God wants for His church. He wants you, every single one of us, walking in the purity and the power and the grace. Somebody say grace. Amen.
Grace.
We're preaching grace in every message. The grace of an almighty God allows you the power to walk in this redemption and to walk absolutely complete, holy, purified, and without spot or blemish. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. We can walk free. Amen. From every sin and every vice. We can walk in victory. We can walk in power and holiness today. We can walk in love and we can love our brother. And amen. We can even love our enemies because this power is bigger than what we have naturally. Amen.
Amen.
We can love everybody. We can see revival. We can preach under the anointing. We can go into all the world and win this world for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But we must engage. And we must engage the way that Jesus engaged after us. And he says, where art thou? Amen. I'm coming after you. I'm going to come knock on your door. I'm going to put a grandma in your life that's going to continually pester you until you get saved. Amen. I'm going to put a praying mother in your life that continually prays until God makes something out of you, young man. Amen. He's going to continue to work and continue to work and cause us all to follow after Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. So in an era of the great falling away from the faith that we are living in, the end of the dispensation of grace, and the time when we believe that God is dealing with his church, probably many people less and Israel more. It's just about to switch over. How do you grow your church? How do you grow your church and advance Christ's mission? Well, I'm going to cover that right now. One way is you turn ordinary attenders into passionate champions of the mission. Amen? Take ordinary attenders and turn them to passionate champions of the mission. Not convinced? Well, here, listen to this. For too long, too many North American Christians have thought that sitting passively in the back row to get fed is what's required of them. Or that the main goal of finding a church is to find a church that I like. Or that I prefer, that I can. Finding one that preaches the truth in God's anointed power is what you ought to be looking for. Amen?
Amen.
And not one that you like. Not one according to your preferences. Not one that's going to feed you whatever in a load of junk. But one that's going to preach anointed truth in your face, sometimes stepping on toes if need be. Not conforming to this world, but being absolutely a paradox from it. You need to find a church like that where somebody is going to preach the gospel and God's going to say, that is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to find a place like that in this day and in this hour. And you've got to find a people that will engage the mission. The goal of any Christian should never be to find a church that you like and that you sit in the back row of. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The goal should be to fully engage its mission. Fully engage the mission of the church. Fully engage, because that's the visionary that God brought there. That's the vision that God has for the area. The goal should be to fully engage the mission of the church in the community that God has called you to reach. Amen? Talking about a collective vision. Listen, the reason the church will not grow is because it will not be discipled. God showed me this about 2 years ago. So the disciples are unteachable. They're unreachable. Now listen to me. This is very important. Very important. We're talking about solving issues in the body of Christ. We've already heard from God, so this is falling right in line. Christians are babies that never reach full growth or their potential. God's plan before the foundation of the world is left undone because he said that he had works for us before the foundation of the world. Amen? Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works before the foundation of the world. Now listen. God has called us to complete something. God has called us to go into all the world. And if we don't do what he said, that blood will be on our hands. Amen? Not just mine, but all of ours. We've got a job to do. You believe that, don't you?
Yeah.
Straight up. Amen? We believe that. So God has shown us the problem. He's given us the antidote, the solution, the pattern, not to mention a passionate zeal and a fire and a drive that has made Christ the priority of my life and your life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the question is not, will you follow me as I follow Christ? The question is, will you follow Christ?
Amen.
So I know nobody wants to follow a man. Amen?
Amen.
And yet we're called to. We're called to be submit to that leadership. We're going to look at that in a second. But let's go to the commission for a second. What does co-mission mean? What's co mean?
Together.
I heard that this morning. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 28. We're going to look at this. Matthew 28. Let's go to the end of that passage. You guys should know this very well. We're going to study it. Praise God. Co-mission. Matthew 28:16. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, I'm in verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Amen?
Amen.
Go ye therefore. Therefore, in view of my authority and my commission to you, with full power of attorney, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Do you see the second teaching? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. The word is eon, so it's to the end of the age. In other words, go and preach everything that I have commanded you. You cannot preach a little bit of this, pick a little piece of prosperity, pick a little piece of promises, pick a little piece of end times, pick a little piece of grace. You have to preach everything that I've commanded you. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Paul said, I came and I brought it all. I brought the entire gospel, the full gospel to you. Let's look at this now. Go. This applies to all believers. Every single one of us. Amen. We have the same rights and privileges and promises and provision and equipment for service. We have different giftings, but we all have the same call. Amen. We are to evangelize the world according to our ability and direction from God. There is no excuse for millions of church members leaving this work to only a few who seek to obey the Great Commission. Praise God. That's just my Bible commentary from my study Bible. Just read it to you. That's true. Now, what does this look like? So what are we going to be engaged in? Because we know that we need to be engaged Christians. And the goal of every church is to take those folks that are sitting in the church and engage them in ministry. I've just come back from the Wisconsin Ministers Convention. I've got a ton of great notes, but the whole realm of it is to take every single person in the church, get them involved in the church. Amen? Get them involved in ministry of other people and them making disciples. We're going to look at this now. In the New Testament, these activities looked like this. Personal work. That means one-on-one. That means you pairing up with somebody else over a cup of coffee, and you're going to talk Jesus to people. You're going to tell them about the Lord. Amen? You see that in John, Acts, and all the way through those books. Number two, it was called cottage meetings. This is an old commentary, okay? Cottage meetings. That means you in your house, opening up your house and saying, guess what? I've got the gift of hospitality. I want to open my house up to you. I'm going to take you in. You younger ladies, you older men and out in the shop, and somebody put on some coffee. We're going to have some chalk talk here. Amen? 1 hour a day or whatever, 1 hour a week. Cottage meetings. They did that in Mark and Matthew and Acts and all the way through Acts. And the next thing they did was prayer meetings in Acts 3, 4, 12, 20, 28. The church was involved in prayer meetings. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They were involved in jail ministry in Acts 16. They went and shook the jail. God shook the jail until they were released. Amen?
Amen.
They were in Bible school work. Now look at this. Acts 19, 9 and 10 talks about the school of Tyrannus. Okay? And that goes back also to an Old Testament passage. In 2 Kings 6, it talks about the house of the prophets. So there was a school raising up prophets. There was a school in the New Testament raising up men of God. Isn't that interesting? So, and then there was teaching and preaching and healing ministry. Do you ever know anybody that's sick? You can go to them and lay hands upon them and they shall recover. Amen? That doesn't say pastors do that. It says believers do that. These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen? So that's a ministry for you. All of these are ministries for you outside of the pastorate. Okay? Personal work, cottage meetings, prayer meetings, jail ministry, Bible school work, teaching, preaching, and healing. Amen? Open-air evangelism. We're going to do that next Friday night out there in the park in West Point, Nebraska. I'll be preaching. You can come support the meeting. Amen?
Amen.
And that's, guess how you encourage? With your feet. Amen? Okay? Take your feet and encourage the house of God. Encourage all the people of God. That is your ministry. Amen? You may not be the one preaching. You may be the one supporting through prayer. You may be there silently praying. You may be the one that's working the whole outer stretches, seeing, working evangelistically. Number eight, then there's a pastoral ministry. There's deacons and there's elders and there's missionary work and there's evangelistic ministries. And that's a fivefold, okay? And we're supposed to support them as well. Amen? Praise God. So those are eight ways that all of us should be involved in ministry, full-time ministry, and every Christian should take part in personal evangelism. I bet you guys talk to people all week long, and you're waiting for that Holy Ghost moment where you can get in and talk to them. Amen? We're all called to be a witness. Amen? To be a witness for Jesus Christ. To reach every single person. Did you know the Bible says this, that he that winneth souls is wise? You want to have a great place in heaven for the glory of God? Win souls down here. That's all this thing is about. That's all the teaching of the New Testament is about. I'm talking about the Great Commission. And we're co-missioned with God. Are you a mission-minded person? Do you love missions?
Amen?
Amen? But the church today would rather pay somebody to go do missions. Go pay the missionary. We'll support the missionary. Guess what? That needs be. But we all have to have a personal calling. We all have to be engaged Christians in this hour. Amen? Amen. Teach. That's the first word there. We're still in there. Teach. Matthew. It means to make disciples or enroll as a learner or a pupil. Go ahead and underline that in your Bible. That's the word. It's the word teach. Look at the first teaching reference there. We need to get our Bibles back open and take study notes. Amen. And begin to be studiers of the Word of God. Amen. To enroll as a learner or a pupil. The second admonition and teaching, didiosko, means give instruction. Translated teach 93 times. The idea here is more that of instructing than of enrolling. I got a friend, his name is Robin. He's a pastor, he's been here. But in his church, Jeremy Prochaska now goes there. Bill Casey sits right here, Jeremy Prochaska. The evangelist that we're gonna get for the women's conference, what's her name? Melissa Griffith, she's a missionary. She sits over here. Man, there's several other people we know. They brought their youth pastor over from another church there. So you've got people sitting all around, but all of those people sitting in that church believe that they are called into full-time ministry. That they are called. They may be bivocational at the moment, and you may be bivocational. You may be a vocational minister, but that is the place God has sent you to bring the pillar of Jesus. Amen? To bring the Word of God. And to provide for your family. We have to be, but we have to be mission-minded in that, engage the work of God. Hallelujah. The goal of any Christian should never be to find a church that you like and sit in the back row of. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When Jesus says, I'm going to have my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against that church, Peter comes in on the backside of that. And he rebukes God, he rebukes Jesus, and he takes Jesus and begins rebuking him. And then he says, far be it from you, Lord, that this thing happen unto you, that you go to the cross and that you'll be killed and raised the third day. Far that being from happening to you. But Jesus turns to Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things that are of God, but those that are of men. Church, I want to ask you a question. Are you more worried about what men think or what Jesus thinks? Do you feel societal pressure to conform to what men would say? Church, what we think about, if Peter is a type of the church, on this rock I'll build my church, Peter, Petros, little Peter. And if the church is going to be mindful of the things of man, now think about this, not the things of God, then the pressure of the people are going to steer the church in a certain direction that can result in heeding their demands and not God's demands. Don't be those people. Are you getting that? That's the Laodicean church hour that we live in. Hebrews 13, 17. Would you put it on the board? We're going to preach a little bit here. How many love the Word of God?
Amen.
Praise God. Put that down, Roger. Praise God. Praise God. Just put it in your pocket, Roger. Hebrews 13, 17. Look at this. We're going to get out. Obey your leaders. Amen. I got one. Submit to them. I get an amen.
Amen.
And there's coming. For they watch over your souls as those who must give an account for you. Let them do this with joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Oh, God. And not complaining, for that would be not profitable to you. This is exactly right. Come on up here. I'll grab you real quick. I do this every time we look at this scripture. Honestly, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ with my congregation, and Jesus is going to ask me, Aaron, what was it like to Pastor Adam? And I'm going to say, well, it was the joy of my life to pastor this young man because he loved Jesus with all his heart. I saw the passion. He was willing. He was addicted to ministry. He was engaged in everything that you told me to do. He did. And Jesus is going to say, well, then that was God speaking to you. Amen. Because God flows through his ministers. Amen. Angels that he puts in the churches. And he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. According to my testimony. What was it like? And so I'll have that opportunity with every single one that I've ever had to pastor or get to pastor with. And that's why that passage is in there. It's for your benefit. Amen. That would be not profitable for you. It's saying, let it be profitable in that day when we stand before God. Amen. Again and again, it's engaged Christians that are healthy, that are growing, they're passionate people. They know what the mission is. They serve in the mission. They live out the mission. God's commands are not grievous to the people of God. Somebody shout amen. 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 Engaged folks are passionate enough to invite all their friends to the meetings and to back it up with their own shoes. Amen. Amen. Praise God, they want to go because they want the presence of God, because they believe that God has heard, that the pastor's heard, he's brought in the evangelist, and now God's going to speak through the prophet to the people.
Amen.
Hallelujah, just like we saw God move in this place. Amen.
Amen.
The body of Christ is being edified all over this place. Over the long term in a church, you can accomplish more with 30 engaged Christians than with 300 disengaged attenders. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That was a fact I got from my all my ministers convention. Sadly, and I want to explain this, sadly, the disengaged group will dwindle. Do you believe that?
Yep.
The disengaged group is going to dwindle. Let's explain that for a second. And that's why Shane taught us to walk the fence. Walk the fence. See if people are not making the meetings. See if people are not being discipled, because they will be quickly picked off by the devil. Let's see if that's true or not. The Bible says in Matthew 24 that the love of many shall wax
cold.
That's a sign of the end times. Man's going to love less and hate more. And so there'll be more unforgiveness and more of these things that are happening. It's a sign of the end time falling away because the love of many is growing colder and colder. It's getting blacker on this planet even as we speak. The Bible says there's a great falling away from the faith in 1 Thessalonians 2. Luke 18 says, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith upon the earth? Shall he find people still in the commission, still going, still teaching, and still teaching and enrolling and being discipled and making disciples? See, the goal is not that you sit in church and listen to me. The goal is that you get, you are called, equipped, and sent, and then you go do what I'm doing.
That's right.
That is a goal for every person in this room. As a minister, I'm going to prove that to you. You think you're not a minister? Nuh-uh. You're all ministers and you're all witnesses. And we all have the great commission with God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now look at this. I want you to look at this. The Bible also says men shall be lovers of self. So it's the me first mentality. It's me before you, it's us before them, and it's all us before God. Right? We got that in the garden, right?
Yep.
They'll seek and they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Go to 2 Timothy 4. We got to read this today. Praise God. I love the Word of God. I love this church. I love you people. Amen?
Amen.
I love the fact that we read the Word of God. We'll go to verse 1. Now here's Paul, he's talking to a young Timothy, so I'm going to pretend Adam, you're Timothy, okay? Or Mary Karis, you can be Timothy too. Nathaniel, you want to be Timothy? Okay, I'll be Paul here, reading this at least to all of us. 2 Timothy, there it is. Okay, I charge thee, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Now look at this, guys. Reprove, that means bring correction. Why would we have to do that in a church? That is constantly what I am doing. Okay? And it was constantly what Paul telling him, reprove and rebuke. Rebuke. Hold up here. Exhort, encourage, lift, stir, edify with all long suffering. Why would this be such a suffering thing? Long suffering and doctrine. Amen. What's doctrine?
Truth.
In other words, it says I'm going to be more of a chiropractor than Creekwood over there, and everybody's going to walk in here. I got to get them back in order. You know what I mean? So they can walk again. You know what? That's all of us, not just me. That's you as a minister. You have to see yourself as a minister. That's your job.
Amen.
Everybody's going to be out of whack when you find them. You've got to pop them back into shape. Amen?
Right.
Get them walking again upon this road. Hallelujah. For the time will come when they will not endure. Now listen to this. They'll not endure sound doctrine. What this means is this. Pastor, your messages are too long. Can you please preach short? I cannot endure to hear more truth. I went to Wayne State College and I preached a message, and Bobby Joe said, when you preach, it's just like waves of truth. Ba-boom. It's just like billowing and billowing. You know why? Because we just preach the gospel straight out of the Word of God, and very few people do that. But we're living in an area that's so cold and so unpastored and not the Bible Belt that truth just... Honestly, I believe it can be given in little bites. You know what I mean?
Right.
Come on, chew a little more. You can do this, whatever. So the discipling has to be here and now, like crazy. Are you with me?
Yes.
In every age group of all these people, they'll not be able to endure Paul's 9-hour preaching, and then somebody falls off the loft and he dies, and then they bring him to life again. They can't endure the preaching of China and Japan and North Korea and the underground. They cannot endure it. So look, but after their own lust, say lust.
Lust.
They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what that is? There's an old song when I graduated college. It was a Backstreet Boys song. And it went, I want it that way. No one remembers it, okay. That was my... They have to have it their way. They have to find that. They have to find, I got to find it my way. I want it that way. I want it my way. I want it because it sounds better. So here's the six last days characteristics. If you want to pen these down, go right ahead. They'll not endure sound doctrine. Number two, they'll increase in lusts and sin. Number three, they will add one teacher to another or wander from church to church to find those who will not insist on their getting rid of sins and sinful pleasures. That's the Dake Bible commentary. Number four, they will have itching ears. They will desire speakers. Everybody say speakers.
Speakers.
Who will tickle their ears and excuse their passions in the name of religion. They'll go hunting for them. They'll seek for them. They'll search for them. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now look at this. We're not done yet. Five, they will turn away their ears from the truth, which strips them of sin and demands their wholehearted consecration to Christ. I'm going to read that one again. Listen. They will turn away their ears from the truth, which strips them of sin and demands their wholehearted consecration to Jesus Christ. In other words, there's a lot of people out there that are wanting to get a little Jesus with what they're doing. I have a little Jesus too. That's fire insurance, right? But they don't really want to live for God. The word Lord is written 470 times in the New Testament. Every ounce of salvation is lordship salvation. We want Jesus to be Savior, but we do not want Him to be Lord over our lives. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot have it the other way. He is either Lord or He is not Savior. Do you understand what I'm saying? He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father. He is everything. He's Alpha and Omega. Amen? Hallelujah. Church, the book of Isaiah says, "Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy to us deceits." The book of Deuteronomy says these are dreamers of dreams. Read the book of Jude. There's people talking about the lust. In 1 Kings 22 and 21, it says, "I will put a lying spirit in the mouth of all the false prophets who speak smooth things." Oh my God, church. My God, this was all throughout the Bible. It's going to happen in the end time too. Are you with me? Verse 4, they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Fables means half-truths or a little bit of truth or a little truth inside of there. Amen? They'll turn to fables and false religions that pamper the flesh and condone their sin because they cannot endure the sound doctrine of biblical teaching. This is the sad thing. The saddest thing that I see as a pastor in this age is people really do not want this. And wholehearted consecration to this. But church, we don't have to be that way. We can be engaged in this hour. Amen?
Amen.
We can be engaged in this hour. Five, are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
But watch thou, Timothy, in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Not a faith. The faith. Amen?
Amen?
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me, but all of them that love His appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now look at this. 10. For Demas hath forsaken me. See that? I want you guys to see this. Look at the next few verses in this as we're reading the Bible today. Demas left me, okay, having loved this present world. Demas went after whatever, the lake, the vacation, the football, I don't know what it was. He loved the present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Talk about an effective ministry. Now look at this. Take Mark and bring him there, for he is profitable to me for ministry. There's a Mark. Amen. That's profitable. He's into the mission. And Tychus, have I sent to Ephesus? Now look at this. The cloak that I left with Troas, with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with me, and the books, but especially the parchments. Bring the word of God. Amen. Go get the books. Bring the parchments. Now look at 14. In the next one, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Do you see what it's going to look like in this end time, church? It's a bloody battle. It's an absolute bloody battle. I'm not done reading that. Let's keep reading. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Nobody's going to give an amen there. But all men forsook me. Now this is the Apostle Paul, who has the only message of grace on planet Earth at this time. I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, look at this, the Lord stood with me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And strengthened me. And that by me the preaching might be fully known. You have to take that and internalize that. By you the preaching of the gospel may be fully known in every area. And that Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and I will preserve me unto this heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, you believe that he's going to preserve you? He's going to help you even when the lion comes to gulp you. But it's going to be a fight. You have to see that. It's going to be a fight for this gospel message. Hallelujah. Anybody still want to be engaged in it? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the goal and proof of a great church is this. The product of Christianity that it produces in the men and women that are called, equipped, and sent into ministry. You don't have to have a big church. You can have a little church. But watch the people that have come out of that church and ask yourself, did they go into ministry and are they carrying on in ministry? And if they have been ejected into ministry, person over person, Jonathan, Michael, Steve, Marty, when he got here, was different man than he is now. Ray got saved again. I remember somebody asked me, why is it when people come to your church, they get born again? Well, because it's the Jesus. Amen. Brent and Wendy Bauer get saved here. Karis gets stirred here and is going to go on and live for God. Amen. Adam sitting on the front pew, and you're being called into ministry. Amen. Cassia and countless others. Joel's a guy that I think is going to be used of God. Amen. Even Joel. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Church, that is the proof positive that God is moving and rocking and blowing people off the ball in this place. I've never been in a church that's ever seen that. Hallelujah. God's going to bring the growth. Hallelujah. He will. The wealth is in this church. But what he's telling me is that every person that sits on a pew has to be involved and engaged in the unity that we heard. I didn't have to preach this morning because you said it, and who else said it? You said it, and you said it, and Sarah said it, and it was all said before I said it. And then God spoke through prophecy, and then it was laid out through the pastor. So take that out of the mouth of two or three or four or five witnesses. Let every word be established in the house of God. Give God praise today. Amen. He's so worthy of our praise and glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. God's goal is that we all become ministers. Amen. Every single one of us. Hallelujah. I think I'll try to close with this. Acts 26. Let's go there. Because I have this new goal of preaching shorter messages. I do. I really do. I'm working on it. The Lord threw me for a loop there for about 20 minutes as we worshiped him, though, okay? Okay. God, you got to see this. Paul on the Damascus Road, he's telling his story about how God changed his life and that he'll never be the same again. And now he's going to stand before Festus. He's going to preach to King Agrippa. But look at this, he says, but verse 16, 26, 16, but rise. This is for every person in this room today. Your calling is Paul's calling. Every single one of us, look at this. But rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared unto thee, point to yourself, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of all the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Did you know that in the book of Revelations that you are kings and priests? Did you know that? Did you know in 1 Peter that you are a royal priesthood? Amen?
Amen.
How are you going to get out of being in the priesthood or being a minister if you're in the royal priesthood?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Every one of you.
A holy nation. That's who you are. These are the kings and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What are you called to do? 17. Delivering thee from the people. That's pulling you out of the world and from the Gentiles, taking you outside of the world, sanctifying you. Get out of there. Unto whom now I'm going to send you. Then I'm going to turn around, I'm going to send you back to those same people. You used to live for Husker football. Well, guess what? I'm going to pull you out of that world, but send you back into that world to preach Jesus to those people. Amen?
Amen.
And right on down the line, you used to be all caught up in this, but now you're going to be the deliverer of these people. 18, what am I going to do? Here it is, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Church, what a calling. What a calling for every single one of us to be so engaged and so addicted to this ministry and so wanting to see the kingdom fill up that we believe that, oh my gosh, if the church just had a revival, we would see hundreds of people come in flocking into this place through your ministries.
Amen.
Through your ministries. Amen?
Amen?
We would reach all of the state of Nebraska. I talked to Brent last night, and he's talking to a guy in Ogallala that wants to get us on the radio. Amen. Well, let's see how much it costs. Let's preach in the panhandle. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And he says this, 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Do you believe that this was just for Paul? And that this is just Paul's testimony, but nobody else's?